I'm super excited that you came today. And today we're beginning a brand new sermon series called Heart and Soul. We're going to be talking about what the heart and soul is of this house. What is the heart and soul of our church? What is our heart and soul? Let me talk about us. So if you're a guest here today, I'm loving the fact that you're here, because you get to hear what we're all about. And if you're new to church or new to faith, or maybe you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, it's okay. You came to a safe place. You came to a great place. So sit back, relax, put on your seatbelt, everybody. Come on, let's do that. Yeah, put on your seatbelt, because we're going to go for a little ride. You guys ready for a ride? Heart and soul. Let's talk about, real quick, let's jump in, our foundation scripture. Hang in there with me. You may want to take pictures, take notes. Here we go. If you took Growth Track, you'll know this verse. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. That's our verse for today. And today, y'all ready for the title? Yeah? Yes. You didn't sound convincing. We could close out, wait till next week, or you could watch it online, first service. I don't know. Y'all ready for the title? Yes. Here we go. Why Jesus Hates Religion, and So Do We. Y'all ain't shouting anymore. I don't know what just happened. Why Jesus Hates Religion, and So Do We. Just the title brings some tension in the room. Do you feel it at this moment? Like, it was like, what did Pastor just say? Let me just tell you what I did not say. I did not say Jesus hates church. I did not say Jesus hates Christianity. I did not say Jesus hates Christians, but I did say Jesus hates religion. And my prayer for you today is that you're able to discern and discover whether or not you have religion or relationship with God. Because some of us in this house and some of us watching online have a lot of religion, but we don't necessarily have a relationship with God. What do I mean when I say Jesus hates religion? Well, this is what I mean. Jesus hates the man-made rules, traditions, rituals, and ways that man creates to reach God or please God. How many with me on that? Let's read it again together. Everything in yellow, read it with me. Jesus hates the man-made rules, rituals, traditions, and ways man creates to reach God or please God. That's what I mean when I say religion. And I can tell you today that religion is hurting many people. Religion has hurt many people. Religion keeps people from God. And so often, man creates rituals or traditions as a means to attain God. And in doing so, they're causing people to be disconnected from God. Religion or relationship. And that's my hope for you today, is to really look at your heart and say, man, do I have religion? Am I religious, or do I have a relationship with God? Jesus hates religion. I grew up in a religious church. I grew up going to a religious church in New York City. It was a great church, wonderful church, but they had a lot of man-made rules, a lot of rituals, a lot of traditions. First of all, you know, people dressed up to go to church. I don't know if you remember that time that some of you dressed up, but if you didn't dress up to go to church, don't go to church, all right? Like, you shouldn't go to church. I've been in places where people that didn't dress up to go to church were told to go home until they found suitable clothes. Wow. Like, not my church, but I'm saying that's what happened. In some really legalistic traditions, women can't wear pants. When I do this, you got need to go, what? Right. True story. Like, women couldn't wear pants. And men, or women couldn't cut their hair. That's what I said. Like, what? They couldn't wear makeup. That's the biggest what. Like, some of them need it. I'm not going to go there. I got to stay. My wife, okay, I'm sorry. She's going to tell me, why'd you say that? All right, I'm so sorry. Earrings, if you wear earrings, I'll tell a story on behalf of my wife. My wife went to a church in Puerto Rico one time. She was going to Bible school. The pastor called her out because she had earrings and short hair and said, I'll say it in English because I'll mess it up in Spanish. She said, young lady, come forward. You need to be saved. And she was like, what? Like, what? I'm going to Bible college. So she, you know my wife, right? She was like, no, you didn't. Like, you did not just say I need to be saved. Because if you know her. So she did give him a little piece of her mind and told him she was going to Bible school. This was at the time. And he was just mortified. But there are those churches. Men can't have beards. Those churches. So I don't know why. I think that it's this man's way of thinking that if I can follow the rules, then I can reach God. And I grew up in that environment. I grew up in a Spanish church in Spanish Harlem, 102nd Street and Lexington Avenue, if anybody knows where that is. I grew up there going to church there. Great church, wonderful church, but they had rules. And they also, on Sunday morning, they were so conservative. They were more conservative. They didn't have a music band. They didn't have a band. They had a piano. They didn't have smoke. smoke machine. They didn't have a smoke machine. They didn't have color. They had lights. They didn't have any of that. They had a piano. And when a lady did a special, if you grew up in a church background, they did a special. They sang a song, oh, you know, beautiful song. And my church was so reverent, they wouldn't clap. They would do this. I thought that was normal. So when I'm in church, they did a wonderful, I'm like this, word, that was awesome. That was awesome. And I can remember some of it was good. It was very reverential. Like if you were walking into the church and all of a sudden someone was praying or the pastor was praying, you had to freeze. Do you guys remember that background? Like if you were walking to church, you're like, oh, my sneaker needs, or no sneakers, my shoes need to be untied or tied. And you bend down, the pastor prays, you got to just stay there. Don't you dare move. Freeze. In Jesus' name. Amen. Like nothing ever happened. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is, I don't want to beat these people up. It sounds like I am because, to be honest, I was one of them too. But I think they had great hearts, but they had more religion, which caused people to stay far from God. Because if you went to their church, unless you were like them, you couldn't be a part of them. That was my background. And Jesus hates that. Jesus hates that. Why? I'm going to give you some quick reasons why Jesus hates religion. Jesus hates religion because it keeps people following the rules, not following him. Jesus said, come follow me. He didn't say follow the rules. He didn't say follow the traditions. He didn't say follow the rituals. He said, follow me. Follow me, Jesus said. Matter of fact, Jesus actually condemned religious people in the scriptures. You know, if Jesus was born today, you know, he was born 2,000 years ago, but if he was born today, I personally think that Jesus wouldn't have been born in Israel. He would have been born in New York City. I really believe that. I do. I mean, because he's like a New Yorker in many ways. He tells you like it is, and he don't care. He tells you like it is. And Jesus was surrounded by these Pharisees. Now, these Pharisees in the New Testament were religious people. Get this. They memorized the first five books of the Old Testament. It's hard for me to remember five verses. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to memorize Psalm 91. It's like, oh, gosh, I keep going back. Five books of the Old Testament. They spent almost 9 hours a day in prayer, three-hour intervals throughout the day. They fasted 2 days every 2 weeks. They used to do that. And some of them, if you research this, were called bleeding Pharisees because they loved the law so much. I don't know if they taped it, but they put it on their forehead, stuck it to their forehead, and they would walk around the city with these laws. They would be chanting the law and the scriptures to show everybody their religion and their righteousness. And they would actually, they were called bleeding Pharisees because they banged into people and things, and they bled. True story. That's what happened. They just bled, and they're bleeding Pharisees. Those were like, can you imagine how people around them were like, wow, they're bleeding for God. They have the Torah. They understand. Wow. So these people surrounded Jesus, and Jesus hated that. Why? Matthew 15:8 tells us why. Because they honored him with their lips. But what does it say, church? Their hearts were far from him. It wasn't about what they did externally that impressed God. It was their heart. It was what was within them. And I can't help to think that some of us, maybe not all of us, and a few of us, I don't know, I'm just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you, but perhaps there might be some of you that have the externals right, or you're doing your best to keep up with the externals of your faith. You're doing your best to do the Bible thing and the church thing, and those things are good. And I know what you're saying, Pastor, what, do you want me to stop coming to church? And no, by no means, don't stop coming to church. Or do you want me to stop reading the Bible? No, what I mean is, but if your religion is a means to attain God, or if that method is a means to attain God, then you have religion. Don't have relationship. And I came to tell you today that Jesus went to a cross and died for your sins, not so that we can be religious in our methodology, our approach, our rituals, but so that we can have a love relationship with him. With him. That's what the Bible is. Some of you are intimidated by the Bible because you're open and you see all of these laws and all of these rules, but the Bible is not a rule book. The Bible is a love story. The Bible's a love story. It's not a list of requirements, but a list of results after experiencing God's love. Wow, isn't that amazing? God, through the scriptures, first wants to show you how much he loves you, what he's done for you. It's his expression of who he is to us. It's rooted in love, not rules. Some of you have been intimidated by religion and the church, and some of you watching, maybe you just happen to watch, and this is why you don't go to church, because it's a man-made institution that has a lot of rules. I'm here to tell you, first of all, the idea of church did not come from man, it came from God. This is God's idea. However, we bring our traditions into the church. That's why you have so many different denominations. Yeah, some of you are like, why do we have all these different denominations? You have Baptist, Presbyterian, you know, Pentecostal. You have four, and even within Pentecostal, you have four squares. Some of God, you go down the list, holiness, and you have all of these. Why? Because each denomination focused on one tradition and made it the method by which their church is going to find and attain God. Does that make sense? That's why you can walk into different churches all over the world and all over the country. There's different methods. There's nothing wrong with that. But if the method is the only way to reach God, then you have religion, not relationship. And I'm sorry, but sometimes we bring religion into the church and we think you have to look a certain way, you have to act a certain way, you have to say certain things. There's certain things that you need to do in church, like sing more than three songs. Right? We got to sing. Why do we only sing three songs? Well, that's why we sang four songs today, God. We wanted to mess you up. We just wanted to be like, four songs. Some of you are used to three songs, and you're like, oh, they sang an extra song. But some of y'all grew up in church when three songs was just warming up. That was just like the welcome time. And then the pastor would do a brief exhortation, 15, 20 minutes, and then worship actually started. You see, I grew up in a time when I went to church Sunday. Sunday. You guys go to church an hour on Sunday. I went to church Sunday. Like, I never saw a football game. I didn't even know there was life on Sunday. So we went to church at 10 a.m. Sunday school. God bless. I love Sunday school. That's where I learned so much. Sunday school. Amen. If I say Sunday school now, y'all be like, I have to go to church an extra hour? I'm like, just kidding. So sorry. I don't mean to pick on anybody. I'm like, what? Sunday school. Then I had the service. That was like 2.5. If the pastor got going, like the fuego came, fuego, like fire. And then after church, we weren't going home. So we went downstairs. I remember it was such a great time. We had coffee. I grew up in a Spanish church, so it was café con leche, right? And pan, bread, hot bread, because we were in Spanish Harlem, so the bakeries bring the hot bread with the butter, lots of loaves, pan de agua, they call it. Oh, man, we going after church, right? Let's go somewhere to get the hot bread, and we had that. And then if we're lucky, the church mother would cook. Like, yes. So they would do all that because there was meetings. My mom had meetings all afternoon. Then by 5 or 6 o'clock was the Sunday night church service. Can you imagine? If I call Sunday night church service now, y'all be like, right? I'm like, Pastor, do you know how hard it was to come to Sunday morning church service? Like, do you know what I had to do to come here? Me too, because it's a football game tonight. Like, I wouldn't even be here. I'll show a video. That's what I would do. I'll show a video. All right, let me get back. I'm losing track. So, Sunday night church. So we have all of these requirements. And this is what I want to tell you, number two. Jesus has been, because those requirements become a replacement for a relationship with him. Because you could actually go to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night meetings all week long and not know Jesus. Come on, guys, give me some help today, because so many people get stuck and caught up with the activity of God that they miss being with God and knowing God. See, scriptures teach us all throughout the scripture. Jesus rebukes the Pharisees, but he also rebukes certain Christians, or not Christians, certain people that call and claim themselves to be Christians, because there's another group of people who are super hyper religious people, and they would be casting out demons. And they'd be praying for the sick. You ever met those people? Like the devil's behind everything? You know, like, we got to rebuke the devil. He is in everything and everyone. And the sound goes as the devil. You know, the lights go as the devil. Our flat tires, the devil. Like, you know, everything's the devil. And these people were, like, casting the devil out of everything and everyone and everything. And I understand the devil's behind things. Trust me, I do a lot of dueling and battling with him, but I've learned he ain't behind everything. Sometimes they hit the wrong button in the back. Just to let you know, they just missed the cue. That's what I like. Sometimes that happens. But these people were casting out demons, praying for the sick, and they finally come to Jesus. And this is what Jesus says. He goes, they come to Jesus. Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? And Jesus said, get away from me, because I never knew you. That word new comes in the original Greek, means to know Jesus intimately, personally, like a husband knows a wife. and a wife knows a husband. That's why that same word can be connected to when Adam knew Eve. Jesus wants to know you. Jesus wants you to know him. Jesus wants an intimate relationship with you. See, Jesus didn't come to give you rules. He came so you can have a relationship with him. The way a husband has a relationship with a wife, the intimacy, the communion, the connection. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that there was this curtain that separated the world from the presence of God. God was in the tabernacle. He was in the holy of holy place. That's where the priest was only allowed to go once a year into that holy place. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible, read it, the Bible that says there was an earthquake, and this curtain that separated it was more than a foot thick. It was really thick, because anybody who would walk in there would die unless they were prepared to walk into the presence of God. And the priest once a year would go in to offer sacrifices for the forgiveness of his people. But when Jesus died on the cross, the earth shook. The Bible says that people came alive from the dead. They were walking around. They're walking, literal walking dead were happening. And the curtain in the temple was torn, specifically from the top to the bottom, telling us that you and I have access now to enter into the presence of Jesus. And this is the thing. What's the requirement? Do I have to do something to get into the presence of Jesus? No. You walk into the presence of Jesus covered by the blood of Jesus. It's by faith, through grace. It is a gift of God. Salvation comes by faith through grace. It's a grace gift in which we are covered. Our sins are forgiven. And get this, I'm going to blow some of your mind. Your sins are forgiven from the past, the present, and the future. Because some of you sin and don't even know you're sinning. Some of us sin. I sin and I don't even realize I sin sometimes. Did you know that you sin, don't even realize it? It's easy to point out the big sins. But what about the little sins like greed, envy, right? Lack of patience, lack of kindness, self-centeredness, ego. And we think, oh, if we dress a certain way and read some scriptures and go to multiple prayer meetings and Bible studies, which, by the way, won't kill you. Okay, I'm a pastor. I went to those things. I'm good. It did good for me. But we think though we do those things, then we have attained a certain place with God. And let me tell you what religion does. Religion causes pride. It causes hyper-spirituality, and it gives you an RTD, a religiously transmitted disease, in which you have your seatbelt still on, right? Because some of you are like, I'm going to take this thing off right now. I'm out of this place. You have a religious, and you go around, and we go around with our religion and our religious spirit and saying, oh, if you do this and this and this and this, and we think that we don't have sin in our lives. And Jesus, when he caught the woman of adultery, he brought her, the Pharisees brought her out in front of Jesus, because this woman had multiple partners. She had multiple husbands. And the Pharisees came, and they all had stones in their hand, because during that time, if you were caught in sin, they would stone you. And I hate to say it, but there's a religious spirit out there that are still stoning sinners and still stoning people who are far from God. But Jesus brought that woman and said to the Pharisees, he who doesn't have a sin, throw the first stone. It touches my heart because I'm that woman. How was that woman that needed Jesus? And then Jesus tells that woman, they all drop their stones. They're like, oop. And Jesus said, go and sin no more. In other words, you have found me. You're going to follow me. Now you obey me. But this is by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. Powerful. And I wonder if some of us have a little bit of Pharisee in all of us. I wonder if some of us sit in a seat of judgment sometimes when other people do things, thinking that we're more righteous and religious because maybe we follow Jesus longer, or maybe we've had a longer relationship with God, or maybe we know the scriptures more, or maybe we speak Christianese. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. God bless you. Blessed and highly favored. Amen, sister. Amen, brother. God is good. See what I'm saying? Y'all know the lingo. We got language. We got dress code. We got looks. So I wonder, and that's all fun. That's all great. But I wonder how many of us have a little bit of Pharisee in us, and we need a Pharisectomy. I don't drop it on the ground anymore. They yelled at me in the back. You know how much this mic costs, but I wonder how many of us need a Pharisectomy. Could just get that Pharisee just pulled right out of us. I know I did. That's why I can laugh, because I was one of them. And when I went to Bible college, man, I thought I was a prophet. And I did a lot of prophelying during that particular time, because it didn't come from God. It came from me. And I could tell you, I chewed everybody's head off that was not walking in holiness. Praise the Lord. And I was a pastor that preached and was a pastor way too young. I was 26, about 10 years ago. And pray for me. I have age issues. Anybody else have age issues? Come on. Or how many are really content with their age? Lift your hand. You are? Just extend that hand out to me. Praise you, Lord. But I would preach, and I had suits like fire suits. I had brown, blue, gray, black. I had everything, matching shoes, tie, cuffling. I would go to church like, this is the way you're supposed to go to church. And I would preach. I was a pastor way too young. Forgive me. If you're watching and you're like, I was 26. That was crazy. And I would bring the fire and think that that was the way to win people to Christ, until one day I came face to face with the reality that people weren't coming to Christ. And I was pushing people away. And I wasn't preaching a gospel of grace, but a gospel of laws and rules. And God had to do a Pharisectomy in me. And it started with a tie. I remember, I know for some of you it's funny nowadays, we can talk about it, but back in those days, I remember the Lord speaking to me saying, I have to do some soul stuff in you. He says, I remember, don't wear a tie to church today. So I said, okay, Lord, I didn't wear a tie. I still wore a suit fully. And I came down the steps. My wife is there. She goes, oh, honey, you forgot your tie. And I told her, I'm not wearing a tie today. And she said, what? True story. I'll never forget it. She said, what? And this is what she said. What are the boys going to think when they don't see their dad dressed in a suit? I said, I have no idea what they're going to think. But all I know is that I'm going to church like this. And I'm supposed to. And I remember when God, layer by layer, step by step, began to baptize me in love and grace and help me truly to understand his amazing grace. Well, I'm happy to say both my boys follow Jesus. My oldest is in Bible school, trained to be a pastor. So the tie really didn't affect them in a negative way. But I just want to say that step by step, moment by moment. And I began to realize that, you know why God gave us the law? Jesus did not give us the law, not expecting us not to be able to keep it. Did you know that? The very purpose of the law is to show us that we can't keep it. Because if we could keep it, then we wouldn't need a Savior. Come on, somebody, right? Then we wouldn't need Jesus. If I was able to keep the law perfectly, if I was able to do everything on that do-do list, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't need God. But why did he give us the law? To show us that we can't keep it, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. That's why it's called Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And regardless of how religious you feel today, we're all a wretch. We're all in need of a Savior. That's why God so loved the world. I call him the first responder, who saw our need and left heaven and didn't run from us, but ran to us in order that we may be saved through grace. I got to keep going. Jesus hates religion because it keeps the needy and hurting people away from him. Because we put these expectations on people and it keeps people far from him. And God today says, I don't want your religion. I want your heart. I want your relationship. So from that moment of experience, let me go back to when I was a pastor. I remember God began to show me things. Lord, help me, show me how to pastor and reach people. And he just told me, just to shift your focus, talk to the people who are not there yet. Talk to people who are far from me. And this is what he said. If you're going to do things, if you're going to reach people you've never reached, then you need to do things you've never done. And that's what has led me to this, that this is our mission here at TC. For part of it is to lead people. Let me just go for the sake of time. To lead people, what? Far from God. We will never be a church that doesn't focus on people far from God, because I was one of them. How about you? Were you far from God at one time? We will be a church where everyone can start their spiritual journey. We will be a church that you don't need a spiritual resume to attend. You can come here broken and hurting with all of your issues, all of your drama. You can come into this church the way you are. But this is our goal, that you find a what? With. And how do you know that you have a relationship with Jesus? This is where we're gonna hit the nail on the head. Y'all with me? How do you know if you have religion over relationship? Or how do you know if you have relationship instead of religion? This is how you know. Not only do you have Jesus, but Jesus is transforming your life. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. How do I know that I have relationship and not religion? You know you have relationship when you're growing to become more loving, more kind, more patient. And you ever noticed that religious people are so mean? Like, I know their hearts have good intent, but it's like, you know, if you don't turn, you're going to burn. Turn or burn. And y'all better get right, because you're going to get left. Some of y'all get that. Some of you are still waiting. Now you should get there, right? Left. Like, they're so mean. And Jesus didn't come mean. Jesus came with grace. He embraced us because he loves us. And this is what I want to tell you today. This is our mission. We're going to focus on people far from God. That's why we're holding Trunk or Treat. I just want to declare, we're not celebrating Halloween. We believe that Jesus owns 365 days. It's like, he doesn't own 364, and that one, we all have to go hide. No, we're going to light the night, and we're going to love. Can I just say what I want to say? We're going to love the hell out of people. Come on, somebody. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. And that's what we do as a church. I feel like saying it again, but I won't, because I don't want to upset the religious people. But that's just, isn't that what it's all about? Leading people far from God and just praying that they find Jesus. My prayer for you is that you don't find a church. Find Jesus. Maybe God's going to use our church. Maybe God's going to use another church. Maybe God's going to use another person. Find Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus will save your life. Jesus will change you. Jesus will heal you. Jesus will transform you. Jesus will forgive you. Jesus will love you. Jesus will do everything and anything that I cannot do. I cannot save people. I can't heal people. I can't do what Jesus can do for you, but I can point you to Jesus. I can tell you He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I can tell you that. I can tell you that He's turned my life around. I can tell you that He's healed me. I can tell you that He's filled me. I can tell you that He's baptized me. I can tell you He's given me power. He's given me strength. I can tell you that He's there in the lowest points of my life. I can tell you there His mercies are new every morning. I can tell you He's been faithful. I can tell you He's been good in the good. He's been good in the bad. He's been good in the ugly. I can tell you that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear no evil because He is with me. He upholds me. He strengthens me. He's there for me. That is who I want you to know. I don't want you to know religion. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to have a relationship with Jesus. And yeah, I know we do things differently. And we're trying to be modern. We're trying to connect because let's go back. I'm almost done. I go next one. To the weak, we become weak. To win the weak. In other words, we're just trying to be all things to all people. In other words, weak in faith, weak in their lives. We're trying to connect with people. We're not going to be like them, but we're just going to try to find common ground. Are you with me? And I just think sometimes we just got to change methodology and maybe add some lights. And it's scriptural. God said, let there be lights. And I'm just telling you, God said, let there be lights. I'm just teasing. But I'm just trying to find common ground with all people. For what purpose? That some might be saved. I'll leave you with this. We are not a spiritual spa for the saved. We are a hospital for the hurting and the broke. You take this. We're a hospital for the hurting and the broke. That's who we are. Say, well, Pastor, how do I know if I have religion or relationship? I'm just going to leave it to you this way. Religion makes you feel like you haven't done enough. Religion makes you feel that there's always something or some failure in your life that causes you to get out of relationship with God. But how do you know that you have religion instead of relationship? When you have a relationship with Jesus, nothing else will do. Because all I want is you. Nothing else. How do you know you have religion or relationship? You know you have religion when you just go to church. You know you have relationship when nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want nothing else.